Hello and welcome to the Business Podcast at Imperial College Business School. I am your host, Amin Siala, and today I'm joined by three members of a team of six MSc students from Imperial College Business School, who managed to successfully raise a fund worth £100,000 from Imperial College. This fund will be managed by them and will remain an exclusive fund managed by students. I'm joined by Davide Schuto, Jan Rink, and Eduardo Pediconi. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
So thanks for having us.
Let's start with maybe an introduction. Davide, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm currently doing MSc Investment and Wealth Management. Before, I've done a double degree program between Italy and the UK in international management, actually, so different field. So I started my first 2 years in Italy, and then I moved here in the UK, Lancaster University. In the meanwhile, I've done couple of internships in the financial sector here in London and in Milan. And then I moved here to study investment and wealth management, as I thought by side industry is what I want to do. Nice. in my career. Now it's a different type of industry rather than the management field I was studying in my undergrad. But I realized that...
Did you have that in mind beforehand? Or?
Honestly, no. Mm. No at all. When I started uni, I said, no, you know what? What I don't want to do is finance. Then I realized after the fourth course I took in my undergrad, I said, no, this I like
so
it.
So you did not want to do finance initially?
Initially, no.
And then you ended up raising £100,000?
Oh, yeah.
Who would have thought?
That's pretty much it. I wouldn't have thought that.
Really interesting. Jan, how about yourself?
So, yeah, I studied my undergrad in Germany in business studies. So basically it's management too. I managed to get a specialization in finance. That's why that's how I came across finance. And
my motivation. Modules that you could choose.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where my motivation came from. And I did after my undergrad a gap year, did a lot of internships.
Okay.
Gathered some practical experience, and now I'm here studying investment and wealth management as Davide is doing.
Awesome.
And
awesome. So. Eduardo, how about yourself?
I studied as well management at Royal Holloway. And as David, I didn't want to go in finance at the start. I wanted maybe to be a consultant.
Okay.
I did an internship in consulting. And during my second year, I worked for a leading hedge fund, a boutique one in Switzerland. And I thought, this is what I want to do.
Yep.
And that's also why I applied to MSc Finance Accounting at Imperial College.
Wow. Well, there we are. That's. But you do not do the same course as Jan and Davide.
The course, I think, was really similar to both of them, but at three different universities.
Right, okay. What I meant was the current course.
Oh, no.
So you're doing finance and accounting.
Exactly.
Right, and Jan and Davide are doing investment and wealth management.
Yes, exactly.
So, got so many questions for you guys. Firstly, am I right in assuming, just for the listeners that might have not understood this fully, that you just approached Imperial and said, can we please have £100,000?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
That. Right. And now you've done it. So it was successful. You actually received the funds, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. Yeah. But
how long did it take?
We started start of October.
Yeah, around about 5 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Start of October.
So it wasn't easy.
No, at all. No.
And with regards to team, I mean, how did this happen? How did you guys assemble this team? I mean, you do a different course, so it would have been within the business school ecosystem.
Mainly out of interest, we all found that we have the same interest in what we want to do as a future career.
Yep.
And luckily enough, we found each other at the start of a course and we got along and this started to happen. It was more of a natural process than thinking about it a lot.
And the team is the seven of you so far?
Yeah. Yes.
Seven of us.
So when you first started, let's get this straight. So you created some sort of proposal document and then you approached the school with it. What did that proposal document look like?
No, basically, how it worked is that initially, after we developed the idea, we started talking with the professors first.
Okay.
So asking them, is there any chance that you think this can suit in this in this uni?
Yeah.
So we talked with them and say, yeah, this sounds like a great idea.
Mm.
So obviously, like we needed to receive so many approvals from any person in the business school, so we went to speak with the dean as well.
Yep.
Dean has to put the provost board and so all the kind of bureaucracy stuff and everyone has to be happy in that sense. So we initially spoke with the professors. So they say, yeah, try to move forward. So because the initiative coming from students is much more valuable than coming from the professors.
Mm.
That's what they say. Because this comes from actual students.
Yeah,
really.
It's true. Actually, just on that point, I'll highlight. I have sensed this as well at Imperial. There is a push where they're saying, look, we want to support student-generated content, student-generated initiatives. And that's great, because that is what a university is at the end of the day, right? The university is made up of the students.
Exactly. Enhancing not only your experience as a student taking exams, but an experience as a student developing the uni community. So after that, we develop all the kind of documents like proposal presentation to these are our idea, these are our goals.
Okay.
So we went to present them to the dean.
Right. Now what I'm interested in is, okay, the value of £100,000, is this what you asked for initially or did you ask for more?
We asked for £100,000.
Yeah. And you got £100,000?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. The other question is, how detailed was the proposal? What I mean is, did you say we're going to invest in A, B, C and D and this is going to be the split, or was it general and broad?
Initially, it was general and broad, because putting already constraints on what we want to do afterwards might put some pressures on the uni. So we wanted to leave the uni, make their thought about that, like thinking, look, okay, we can give you this, but these are the things that we would like to you guys to do.
Yep.
So we didn't want to say already, we have this in mind. Despite it's a good thing, I think, having already a plan in mind about what to do, but giving the university the freedom to say, okay, guys, I can give you this, but please do this and not do that.
Okay.
If you get what I mean.
Yeah, so are you saying there was some sort of back and forth?
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is how we want it to, you know, to run, and then the school saying, no, you're going to have to...
That's our aim, then, developing the side of what doing with the money. We wanted to develop that with the university.
Okay.
So...
And how satisfied are you with the final agreement? Would you say it's fair?
Yeah.
It's really fair, because we sense that in the university there's a lot of motivation to do practical learning experience for students and to push this forward. And this is a perfect platform for professors and for the business school in order to provide this to students. And if it's run by students, students can get the most out of this experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the experience then, so there's a team of seven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How have you split the roles?
Well, like, they came pretty much naturally out of our interest. So let's say despite it's a small team, so everyone is doing everything, there's a structure, but it's pretty much just to have an idea of who starts doing things, but then everyone helps each other. So we started actually, there's who likes more the investment side. Obviously, we cannot do everything the same thing, so we had to split a bit. So guys on the investment side, other guys on the operational side, sponsorship. So pretty much like came naturally, I think.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think we were very lucky to find everyone had the same interest, but in the sub-interests were different, and so it came naturally to divide in what we preferred to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But
true.
As I said, like everyone is helping in doing any other job. Like, it's not just one person doing that job.
Right.
It's like that person is like, okay, what do you think? And then everyone agrees and say, okay, what we can do this, we can do that.
Yeah.
So it's much more like, how can I say?
It's like a startup right now.
So exactly.
We're all doing the same things, and we're all trying to push things forward. And then we have the structure in place in order to be able to cope with the people coming.
Exactly.
So
Yeah, absolutely. This is what I find extremely interesting. Yeah, yeah. It does sound like a startup at the moment. It's relatively new.
Yeah.
You're still figuring out exactly what the structure is going to be like, how you're going to split the roles, and also how are future students going to pick it up as well. But I feel like at this stage, I mean, you've jumped over the biggest obstacle, the biggest hurdle. The most difficult part is actually convincing the university to give you some money altogether.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point, which I do want to emphasize, which is extremely impressive, I mean, from all seven of you, is the fact that this did not exist before you came. Am I right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And we joined the university and said, okay, we should have a fund.
Yes.
We want a fund.
Yeah.
And then you spent months working on this.
Yes.
And you got there in the end. See, what I like about this is, I think, you could argue that a lot of students miss this. A lot of students would assume that you come to a university or any academic institution and wisdom is going to be thrown at you and you're going to just learn like that. Whereas in reality, the university experience or the learning experience is surely about utilizing what's around you, right? And seeing what's possible. You guys approached professors, faculty, approached the dean, and also you've tapped into your previous experiences. Is that right?
Yeah.
You had a fund in beforehand?
Lancaster.
Dublin, right?
Lancaster, yeah, okay. Yeah. They came from my previous experience in Lancaster, yeah. In the 2 years I've done for my double degree.
Yeah.
I managed last year, develop a fund as well.
Yeah.
Pretty small, actually. At that time, I was alone managing that because
I've got six people helping.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was pretty much different. Yes, but last year at Lancaster, like, really made my year. The fund made my year. Yeah. And like, what I like the most is like, I came back to Lancaster last weekend, actually,
okay,
to say hello to my football friends back there.
Yeah.
And actually, I saw the new analyst join the fund.
Okay.
And they were so happy of the fund
really?
Being created. They were telling me, look, this is really good. I mean, I get like loads of good exposure to the finance. I got good internship opportunities, and they're asking me about the fund. It's really small there. It's not as big as here.
But
like
it's the experience. So how valuable do you guys think it is? Jan, I mean how valuable do you think an investment student or a student interested in finance to actually have hands-on experience and manage a fund?
It's vital. I would say or having gathered some practical experience during my gap year, I experienced it. The hands-on experience, the practical experience, is the most essential part of the most essential part towards a professional career. It's good and it's necessary to know the theoretical backgrounds, to know how all these concepts work in theory. But as long as you haven't applied them in practice, you have no idea of how they're going to turn out and how to how to value a company, how to go down into the details, how to apply these theoretical strategies.
Yep.
So in order to provide this to students, this fund is the perfect opportunity. And you can learn so much in order to understand what you're learning in theory. Because theoretical learning is one part,
yep,
and then understanding it completely is something completely different.
Eduardo?
I think it's a perfect opportunity to kickstart your career. I realized that during my internship that sometimes students think, oh, I got this degree, I know everything. But then you go into the real world and it's totally different.
Yeah.
And especially maybe students are having some funding constraints, so they would like to trade.
Mm.
But having a paper portfolio with no real money is totally different. Instead, with a fund, you have real money. You deep dive into analyzing stocks, into looking how investment strategy works, for example, how quantitative one works, how non-discretionary one works.
Yep.
And I think it gives you a much more holistic approach to everything. It's like Jan said, you combine the theoretical and the practical. And I'm confident that all the students that will participate in the fund, when they will go to work next year, they'll have they'll probably have an advantage over the other graduates.
And on this point as well, demo trading. So I've experienced this firsthand. I personally think, and this is my biased opinion, that you cannot compare demo trading to real life trading at all.
No.
Two entirely different experiences. You know, the emotional roller coaster that you go through when your money is on the line, there's not much that of a demo. Demo, it's not your money. There is no skin in the game, to use the American lingo. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, so having worked at a hedge fund right before I joined Imperial, all the investment professionals there told me that there's nothing more of a learning experience to you than losing money on a trade, because you need to develop an investment idea. That's the first step. And this is like theory to practice.
Yep.
But then if you lose money and you have your own money on the line, this is like the experience you need to have, or you need to learn to deal with those with those hits you need to take. And in order to be able to stand up and move on, this is something you definitely need to experience, and you can't experience in a theoretical environment.
Or even if you're, for example, certain that a certain stock will go up or a certain stock will go down, obviously it's not just going to directly drop or directly go up, right? So there's going to be fluctuations. Yeah. And the difficulty is in the emotional discipline you'd have.
No,
to maintain your position and say, look, I know this is minus 10% at the moment, but it will, you know, go the way I plan it. The only way you're going to feel that is if you actually have your money at stake, right?
It's, and also, if you have the money from someone else, that's even tougher, I think.
Mm.
I mean, not speaking about the demo account, but if you manage your own money, then you have your own risk, let's say. Sure. So you get exposure that you want to take. But when you manage someone else's money, what comes into place is also, that's not my money.
Yeah, it's a bit more pressure,
exactly.
Responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so you might be more cautious on what to do.
Okay.
More pressure, more responsibility.
Yeah. So let's speak about the fund. I mean, I am aware there's probably things you can divulge and things you can't, so that's absolutely fine. What are the constraints you currently have? I mean, can you invest it anywhere on anything, or is there certain rules in place?
No, we can't invest in any anything. Instrument at the moment.
Okay.
So at this initial stage,
yep.
The strategy is more basic, let's say. It's more to get the thing starting.
Right.
And then as soon as we have more freedom, let's say, maybe we get some more donations, let's say, or we have more experience, that we can develop other more complex instrument. But at the moment, it's pretty basic, like equities.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's just to show them that the concept is working to
provide
proof of concept. And a track record for us in order to approach further donators or the college as well.
Okay.
We want to take one step at a time and create a track record, and then if it's successful, we'll develop, let's say, more sophisticated strategies.
Also because Imperial is pretty well known for the quantitative approach that it has on the subject it teaches.
Yep.
So we wanted to develop a sort of a quantitative strategy as well.
Which
is more as well.
Okay, yeah, so that's one of many.
Our aim is to develop more strategies so that we could experience different type of investments.
Yep.
And also the quantitative one, which is really crucial, I think, on this environment.
Yep.
And Imperial pretty much pushes for the quantitative approach in anything that we do. So maybe putting that into the fund, that could help us as well as saying Imperial is teaching this and we are applying this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, I know that you're in startup mode, so to speak, but what structures have you put in place in terms of, for example, how many times you'd meet every month? Have you put this in paper yet, or is it still?
For the investment side or for like us, seven of us?
Both.
So, well, the seven of us, we usually meet every day,
pretty much. Right. I was not expecting that. Okay.
No, there's always something going on. There's always
every
something.
Single day.
Mm. Yeah, you can expect as a startup, there's something coming up, and you need to take care of it. It's always something to do.
But you're all getting along so far, I hope.
Yeah,
for now, yeah. No.
we meet for dinner and we talk about that. So we have different environments where we can do this. So,
okay.
But yeah, pretty much every day we meet every day. For the investment side, it's not that often.
Okay.
Just with the analysts.
Depending, probably we'll have a direct contact, maybe even every day with analysts, depending on which stock we're choosing or which strategy we're going. So I think that's mainly going to depend on how the market is going, and especially of how many ideas or how many stocks of analysts are deciding to pitch to us.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think that for a big analyst meeting, let's say, which all the other analysts meet together, I think it's going to be once per week.
Once per week, bi-weekly. Yeah.
So some people in the team have been assigned to be lead analysts.
We're in the phase of recruitment now. We opened our positions 2 days ago, if I'm not wrong. And we have received applications by
all the MSCs.
We're receiving emails every 10 minutes.
Mm.
And so now we're screening and we're going to call all the analysts for an interview.
Okay.
Unfortunately, our places are limited due to the size of the fund.
Of course, yeah.
And we'll start on that on Friday.
On Friday, okay. Yeah. So this is quite recent. It's happening right now.
Yes.
Yeah, because, we haven't not that much of months left for this.
Absolutely.
We need to...
Yeah. I mean, I completely share that perspective as well. See, as soon as you become laid back and relaxed and think, oh, it's okay, everything will happen, but that need to get something done now, today, tomorrow, this week, and not next week.
Deadline. Yeah.
That's exactly what gets results.
Yeah, exactly. Not that we are rushing things.
Mm,
that's perfectly clear. We are not rushing things.
Okay.
But just making sure we hit the.
And how many analysts are you looking to recruit? And also, do they have to be purely business school students, or would you accept some non-business school students from Imperial?
So, how many analysts? First question: how many analysts we're going to recruit? This should be around 40 analysts.
40.
Yeah, 40.
Okay, wow, okay.
Yeah, and if they have to be mainly of a business school...
Yeah.
Well, in terms of master program. Yeah, okay, it's open at the moment. We targeting business school students.
Okay.
MSc business school
students. Yeah, it makes sense, right?
MSc, you want somebody as well MBA, so all of the business school
MBA as well
included.
Okay.
But just for now,
especially speaking with a professor, he proposed the idea of a global MBA, where we're going to have analysts not physically here in London, but all around the world, and I think that's going to increase the connection of Imperial.
So and that's going to help us. Speaking of the GMBAs, which is a global MBA, what support systems do you have in place?
We're trying to not only developing a network of analysts within the business school, but also within different regional areas, let's say. So global MBAs that they may be somewhere else now, they can contribute to the fund doing their research in where they are.
So in what way could that be? I mean, can I have an example for you?
We're working with a startup that aggregates the ideas, and then we have a poll with the best ideas, and then they'll have to create or stock pitch to us through Skype due to a geographic location, and then send an equity research report to present the idea and why it's a buy or why it's a sell.
Okay, right.
So let's say there's an MBA student in India, let's say, and then he can do research in the market he's maybe doing, that he's likes at the moment, which is maybe India.
Yeah.
And so we could be in contact with him and say, look, what do you think about this and that? So also not only remote research, but they can broaden the perspective, because maybe investing in like Indian company, and he is there, you know, say, look, this is what's going on. Just as an example. Might be.
I'm actually interested in the 40. So you're gonna bring 40 analysts. Now, what's the funnel going to look like? If they all propose an idea, that's 40 ideas.
Yeah, we will decide. I mean, around 30-40 analysts is a big number, and we know. Yeah. We thought to split them into teams, different teams covering different sectors.
Right.
Flexible on that, so maybe their interest is in something, so they can they can cover the team that they like.
Perfect. So you could be pharmaceutical, we want to focus on pharmaceutical.
Or TMT, or let's say some industrials. So we would split them into different teams, three or four, let's say. And then they will put together their ideas to pitch a stock, either together or by themselves, but as a team. Let's say maybe there's a team of three and they are pitching two stocks. That's more than fine. Mm. So that's going to be like that. But if an analyst is really keen to do, I want to do apart from the teamwork, I want to do this stock I think is good, you can pitch that too. So,
go ahead.
Especially because it's a lot of work. That's why we require a high number of analysts, as we know that all MSc students are really busy with coursework, exams. We wanted to make a number that people could really work on it, but at the same time wouldn't, we want people really dedicated, and we thought if we're going to have only 20 analysts, then it's going to be too much work on them. So we prefer a bigger number, more teamwork, and more idea generation.
Possibly also higher quality.
Hopefully.
Surely a team of four that are working together, focusing on a specific industry, that are out there to produce just one solid idea. And jointly they will present you something that's worth considering compared to each individual person coming, hey, I've got this idea, this idea. It's just a better way to generate ideas and filter them.
You will have some natural loops within the team, and you'll get some, as you said, some filters before it gets to the next stage and the investment decision finally is made. So you'll have some kind of a revision process before.
So mentioned earlier is student funds are quite popular in the United States. Mostly popular there than any other region.
Yeah, I would say so. I would definitely say so.
Yeah, is that right based on your research as well?
Yes. Yeah.
And what's the reason for that? Can you speculate?
Well,
I think that probably universities in America take a more practical approach, and I believe that's what Imperial is doing in comparison to other universities. And they want their students not to learn only the theory but the practice to combine them, and in the end to give a more holistic approach to all the students and better prepare them for their future career.
To be honest, I 100% agree. One of the reasons why I was attracted to study Imperial altogether is that practical focus. And that was the impression I got from all the material I was reading, really. It's just,
same.
You know, you want to be taught something that is applicable to real life. Theory is great, but you need some practical experience. And you know, now that you've got access to a fund, you can study some finance and actually apply it to the fund straight away.
Exactly.
Or maybe even in your case, you could apply what you learn when you're criticizing or judging the, you know, the stock pitch ideas that come through your way.
Yes.
True. From the US, I think it's basically the concept of the business school and where you get this hands-on experience. You usually do an MBA there, so it's a different background, and you get all your learning experience crushed into 2 years or 1 or 2 years of studying at the school. So it's vital for them to get some practical experience in order to be able to join a financial company afterwards. And I think this is best for us students as well.
Yeah.
So if you have this practical experience, you're more valuable on the job market, and you can, as you said, you can enhance your skill set, you can develop your skill set in certain ways, which is super usable on the job market. And
There is actually a very, very energetic alumni base for Imperial College as a whole, and Imperial College Business School specifically. And currently, there are multiple funds out there where alumni can actually invest and support the business school. Mm-hmm. But I imagine that with what you guys have initiated and started, potentially this could even be a fund in its own, right? In the sense that this is something that donors can actually contribute to. Because, you know, based on my research, I did see that in other universities in the States I'm referring to specifically, that's actually how the fund is formed altogether. It's actually external donor alumni. And it's great, right? You know, they would have either made it on finance or however they sourced the capital and then invested it back to support the students. But it's a different kind of giving. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, obviously every giving back is great. You know, if you're going to build, for example, the floor 4 and 5 of the library, it's done purely by alumni donations. Yeah. I don't know if you know this or not. Likewise, you know, if you wanted to support finance students at the business school, say, look, I'll contribute, for example, with £20,000 worth of investment, and that'll go into a pool that just increases. It's a great input.
Yeah, no, I mean, getting also alumni contributing with donations, that would be even better. Yeah, yeah, getting that kind of approach from the alumni would be really, really good.
Like, I think it's two-sided because they can support us and they could enhance our learning experience and give something back, especially for finance students. But on the other side, getting in contact with companies, with external professionals, is also vital for them in order to get a special inroad to the students and to special students interested in such fields. So if you have, for example, quantitative strategies or just normal stock picking strategy, a fund working in this field would be super interested in working together with the students and developing the skill set based on their needs. So
okay. I'm going to go off on a tangent now, just speaking of strategies. What do you guys think of cryptocurrencies? Eduardo?
I think I'm not a huge fan. They're really volatile, and I like to do fundamental research, and probably 95% or even higher number have zero fundamental research. It's pure speculation.
Yep.
It's people pumping, dumping, or buying, like, without doing any research, any strategy. And I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of a crazy market that just goes on sentiment and with no real grounds.
Mm.
So that's also why I'm more, let's say, into equity in what we're investing.
That was a solid argument, to be honest. Yeah. Jan, thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with it. It was definitely my view. The market is very, very difficult to assess and to analyze because there are so many, let's say, unprofessional investors in this market, because a lot of people think that this is the currency of the future and they believe in this idea, but they're not professional investors. So this is not a market which moves in the same in the same direction as a normal market would move.
Mm.
So it's not analyzable at all.
Yeah,
I mean, we've seen that recently.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just fluctuating with almost no justification, no explanation almost. You know, it's just, it's all speculation. I've been added by a couple of friends of mine to these cryptocurrency groups on Facebook. And, you know, I've known these people for years. They have no trading experience, no finance experience. Suddenly, everyone is now talking about what they think is going to happen. And there's a dip coming tomorrow. It's going to rise tomorrow. Based on what information, you know, it's just, that is quite problematic, this current moment. My personal theory is the only people benefiting from this are brokers, big time. Brokers, that's the only explanation I've got. You know, on my LinkedIn, I've got these couple of contacts that are super pro cryptocurrencies and specifically Bitcoin. It's almost like Bitcoin is paying them commission. And quite literally, they are being paid commission, you know, because they profit from purely you buying or selling Bitcoin. So it's, but I assume the fund is not going to touch cryptocurrencies.
No.
Excellent. We've got that out of the way.
Yes. No, we like to be in control of things we're doing.
Yeah. Have you guys thought about how you're going to leave this fund for future students?
Yes, definitely. That's actually a very big thing that we were working on.
Okay.
Because what we thought is that it's not only us. It's us, the uni, and the future students.
Yeah.
So creating a network that could develop this continuity, that's a really crucial factor for that. So we committed ourselves to be on this fund until the next, let's say, executive team will be on board. So until, let's say, October, or when is it going to be?
Right.
So we committed to be, honestly, really committed on...
Excellent. So you're just not going to leave?
Exactly. It's not going to be us to say, okay, the term's done, we're leaving. We want to be sure that the fund is on the right hand, and then also that we could trust people to do the things that we've been doing, because we were really committed initially. And I think that the level of commitment that you put in this is crucial. Mm. It's crucial. And also what the professor said to us is that, guys, I like how you committed you are.
Mm.
And so we want to be sure that the next executive teams and the next analysts will be as committed as we were.
So another question for you. How do you ensure, for example, that there is that level of commitment and seriousness, you know, because I can imagine from a, let's say, if you're a non-student, you're saying, you know, you're giving students some money, is it a good idea? It's quite difficult, right? Surely you can forgive somebody for making that assumption. So do you think there are students out there that do take this extremely seriously? And if so, how do you determine those serious ones and the unserious ones?
From the students that they would like to join the fund, let's say.
Yeah.
It's difficult, I'd say. So let's see how this turns out. We're currently in the recruiting process.
Yep.
We've never had such a recruiting process before.
Right.
We'll see how this turns out. That's why we have the transition period afterwards, so we can adjust things, work together with the uni. And that's why we also want to have some longer-term students as the MBA students on board, in order to provide some continuity, because trading operation, we can't cease trading operation in summer months when everybody's leaving. We need to go on, even if the market calms down, but we need to, look at our positions and...
Yeah, there's a level of trust.
And I think we're also really lucky because we've had a huge commitment, and this year at least Imperial students are really dedicated, so I can see that next year, in 2 years, there will be... Like, we choose dedicated students.
Mm.
So I think probably that's not going to be an issue with us helping going till the next, as Davide said, the next executive team is on board.
Yep.
So yeah, we're lucky that Imperial Health...
Can I
go ahead, Davide.
So. Because as we were speaking about continuity, like, we want this fund to be like a really part of the program, of the MSc finance suit and the program, the MSc programs itself. So students that will apply, they know that this fund... is in place.
Yeah.
So they can apply already knowing, look, I want to join the fund.
Mm.
So already creating a level of commitment for the people that, I don't know, in their motivational letter or in any other type of interview, they can say, I joined this also for the fund.
Sure.
So you can say, that's a...
That's one reason why you'd be attracted to actually join the course and the business school as a whole.
Exactly, yeah. That's the main part, yeah.
Did you mention sponsorship earlier?
Yeah, sponsorship and donorship.
Okay.
In a sense, yeah.
Were you referring to sort of external companies, possibly trading companies or even hedge funds that you'd somehow build a bridge to?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the idea. In order to build a whole practical experience and in order to make the best out of it, it's, as we think, vital to get some external professionals into a commitment to this fund.
Mm.
Into through donorship, or sponsorship, or workshops, and everything else you can imagine.
Yeah,
not only in trading, let's say, not only investments, but more also a networking opportunity.
Yeah.
So involving sponsors, invite them to host events or workshop about different topics that they are caring about. Let's say.
Yeah.
So that enhances the experience of the students in the fund, not only as a way.
Yeah. I mean, I can draw some parallels with the consulting industry. So a lot of consultancy companies approach business schools as a whole, and specifically Imperial, mm-hmm. and they provide these competitions. And that's one way for them to actually, okay, find out what talent there is there. I'm just imagining, could it be the case that a hedge fund or an investment firm you could build a bridge with potentially, and they could, you could shortlist a few suggestions for them, right? It makes sense.
Absolutely. Even a student will have a track record to demonstrate to their prospective employer. And that probably reassures an employer, for example, hedge funds maybe are smaller in size, will have less time to train, and they prefer hiring a recent graduate that has worked in a fund, even if a really small one with a track record and knows what he's doing, then maybe a really smart student but with no experience.
Awesome. So, yeah. Okay, before we wrap up, what advice do you have to future students that will manage the fund, firstly, and B, other students that may want to start the same thing, either in an external university? I mean, I know you jumped through lots of hoops and this is months in the making. It didn't happen overnight. So what advice do you have for them?
Well, answering to your second question, so to the other student in other unis that they don't have a fund, I think that, as you mentioned earlier, the fact that you join the university doesn't mean necessarily you just need to do exams, but you can do something on the side.
Okay.
So I would suggest, if you're interested in an investment fund, then try and ask, also professor, just asking, is this, do you think is this could work? And then from that point onwards, you can actually create it. I mean, if you get the support, as we luckily get from the professors, then I think that's a really good approach to start doing things. You get to know how entrepreneurship you are, how innovative you are.
Yeah.
And then there's no limit, actually, because university, and I mean, it's made for people and for students to do these things,
absolutely,
not just to do exams. I think that's the approach I took, my approach I used for my undergrad, for my master's. I'm not going to university just to take exams.
Yeah. I'm doing just turn up to lectures and do the exams and go home.
I'm going to university to...
There's so much more.
Exactly. It's much more. And like, it's really, really made my experience. So...
And you've got months to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How about you, Jan? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, especially for future students, I would say it's the theoretical learning is what the uni provides, the exams and... all the knowledge you can gather and you can learn in during this course, but the rest is up to you. What you do out of your course is completely up to you. I mean, of course, you need to apply to firms in order to get a job afterwards, but you can easily enhance your experience here at Imperial or at any other university by just looking around. Just be open-minded and think about, what can I do in order to make this a good experience for me, and what do I need in order to succeed upon my planned career path?
Yeah.
And this is actually what we're doing, so.
Great. Eduardo?
I believe that for prospective students, if you're dedicated and you enjoy investing, well, it's probably the best experience you can get. It's a great course, and at the same time, with the fund, you're going to complement them, and I see no better... no better opportunity than really investing your money and really deep diving into stocks and see how company works and what drives valuation.
Well, guys, Davide, Eduardo, and Jan, it's been a pleasure having you on here. I think what you guys have done is phenomenal. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And the best part about it is that there's going to be future students that will benefit from this.
Yes.
Hopefully,
that's
crucial.
And you should feel extremely proud, you know. And I guess now probably the challenge, apart from just a proof of concept, is just ensuring that it stays solid. Right,
exactly.
And it's just that will be the challenge, but
yes,
but we're looking forward.
You guys are definitely up for it.
Yes. We know there are gonna be challenges ahead, but we will manage them. Hopefully,
we like the challenges.
Yeah,
brilliant.
We're gonna face them.
Fantastic. On this note, well, thanks a lot for coming, dear listeners. Dear listeners, thank you very much for listening. This has been the Business Podcast at Imperial College Business School. I was your host, Amin Siala. Do ensure that you are subscribed on YouTube and on iTunes. The website is businesspodcast.co. Thanks very much for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.